Hello, whoever's listening to this. This is Terry Gilliam. I directed the film Brazil, which I think you've got in your hands right now. You've paid your money, so it's too late. There are no refunds, but I do hope you enjoy what you're going to be listening to. Why was Brazil named Brazil? It's based on the song, very simple. The song Brazil, worth winning and naming dream. At one point, I was going to call the film 1984 and a half, a nod to both Orwell and Fellini, but it became Brazil. And it started, the idea came from sitting on a beach in Port Talbot in Wales, which is an industrial town where they have these great container ships arrive and they offload coal on these great conveyor belts that go towards the steel plants. And the whole beach is covered with this black coal dust. And I was there sitting there at sunset and it was a gray, miserable day. Everything was monochromatic except for a bit of glow in the sky. And I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to make a movie about a guy sort of sitting on this beach with a radio and he's fiddling on the dial and suddenly picks up this song, Brazil. And to me, Brazil was kind of this whole romantic world out there, somewhere south of the border, down Mexico way, or even further, wherever that might be. And it was a land of escape and romance and beauty. And that was really where the film started. And that's why the film title ended up being the song. I was first introduced to Michael Kamen by Ray Cooper, who had been involved in Time Bandits when we had handmade films going. Ray Cooper was the head of production, and Ray is, you know, this extraordinary percussionist who has worked with Elton John and Eric Clapton, just about anybody that's got any talent. And he had always been involved with the music on my films. And he had heard a recording of a soundtrack for Dead Zone, which I think was the first movie Michael had scored. And he said, listen to this stuff. This is really good. And I remember we were driving out to George Harrison's house, and he was playing this music. And he said, what's extraordinary about it, it's not like normal film music, is it sort of covers the entire spectrum of sound from the highs to the lows, and it's got danger in it and melancholy and a worrisome quality, and it's incredibly beautiful. And he said, we ought to meet this guy. And that's what happened. We met Michael, and we all got on very well, and so Michael was the chosen boy. I mean, it was interesting working with Michael because I said right from the get-go that we had to use the song Brazil as the major theme of the movie. And Michael was resisting this. I'm not sure why exactly. Maybe he thought he'd get more of the publishing money if it was all his. I don't know. But he kept resisting me. But I said, no, that's the rules of the game. You've got to work with Brazil. Whatever else you do is fine, but that's got to be central. It was quite interesting because very early on, he actually started playing it backwards and discovered that it was the same as the James Bond thing. Dum, da-dum, da-dum, da-dum. If you play that backwards, you'll get part of Brazil. And so once he got into playing with it, that was nice, and we were off and running. And the way it would work, he would be writing things, but at the same time, I would spend day after day with him. And often Ray was there as well. It became sort of a three-way work group. We'd get on the piano, and we'd have the video of the film, and we'd put it in the player, and there would be a monitor. And Michael would have a little tape recorder, and he would just start playing like a silent movie pianist to the film. And I would be, at the same time, kind of directing him, saying, quieter, quieter, quieter. No, okay, now. And Michael would be grabbing chords and playing madly away. And we'd run through a scene like that, and then we'd play back what he had played. The recording said, oh, that bit was very good. That doesn't work too well. And we worked a lot like that. So at that point in my, quote, career, I was very loath to hand over the music of a film to a composer and walk away from it because the music is such a vital part. I mean, it's you can change every scene with the music, whatever music you put on. And it's almost like having a child which you hand over to some sort of foster parent. Go away and raise my kid and I'll come back when he's, a teenager and we'll see what we've got. I couldn't work like that, so I was on Michael's back the whole time. We've always, start with the idea that let's have a thematic structure to this thing, so each character is going to have his own kind of sound. Oh, yeah, I mean, the music was always vital in the transitions because there's these big leaps in the film where you're in this oppressive, gray, miserable world, and then you suddenly into the air, flying and soaring, and suddenly there's color and blue skies. So the music always was dealing with that, but it was dealing with a lot of other things too. There are moments when Sam leaves the ministry at night, and rather than flying off into one of his fantasy dreams, he's just, you know, looking and drawing on the picture of Jill on the printout of her face and giving her long hair. And there's this wonderful sort of saxophone sequence there of him. It's beautiful, but it's a different kind of dreaminess from the escapist fantasy. It's a much more personal thing. She was a friend of all of ours for a long time, and so we got Kate Bush to sing Brazil, and we weren't sure what we would use it. We probably were thinking at the time, let's use it over the end credits. But I finally decided, no, let's not go that way. Let's, over the end credits, we'll have basically a Brazilian carnival. Suddenly we're in Rio, and it's a street carnival, and that's what we used. And that's what I loved about having a soundtrack album because we were able to get Kate's song on the album, because I think it's absolutely wonderful. Well, there's lots of stories of why the soundtrack was very long in reaching the public. I mean, because I had this, you know, rather violent, wild, and unfortunately for some people, successful fight with the studios. And there was the guy who was running the music division of the studio, and he was so apparently irritated at my success that he swore he would never, you know, let this soundtrack get out to the public. That's a secondhand story because I wasn't told that directly, but that's what I was told. And it was only years later when they wanted Michael to score one of their other movies, an important movie, and Michael said, well, I don't think I'll do it unless you release the album. And so it finally got released. With Michael, working with Michael, I always felt, as we were working each day recording, he had a part of his head working on the fact that this score would work as a standalone piece of music. It didn't necessarily need the images like so many scores do. And that's one of the things I like about listening to the soundtrack. It does stand alone. It doesn't need all my pictures and other noises. And I think that's a great joy, because you don't have to sit through 2 hours and 15 or 20 minutes of a film. You can sit and spend far less time and relive the magic moments through your ears. I don't have any theories about music on films. I mean, I just do what it seems to me right for whatever film we're doing. When I made 12 Monkeys, I remember at the beginning of the process of making the film, I was talking to Ray Cooper once again about music, and he started talking to me about tango. And he was talking about a particular tango composer. And I remember going to a record store in Philadelphia trying to find it, and I couldn't find this particular thing, but I grabbed a couple other things, and they were by Piazzolla. And I sat in my room playing this music, and there was a couple particular songs that just stuck in my mind. I said, we've got to use this. And I didn't know how to use it. I just knew we had to have it in the movie. And I originally thought it was going to be used for some of the driving sequences. It just felt like that. But we tried it on the film. It didn't work. And eventually it found its home, and it's the title music over the beginning. And it's the music. You know, I kind of work like a magpie. I gather things, ideas. I don't know how they're going to work, but I think they have something to do with the film. And then if I play with them long enough, they usually find the right place. So that's what happened in the case of, say, 12 Monkeys. I mean, songs in 12 Monkeys, some of those were in the script. But most of the time, it was score, except for this Piazzolla-like piece. Then when it came to Fear and Loathing, I decided I didn't want a score. I was actually saying to Ray, I think if we're going to have a score, it should be just totally percussive. There should just only be a driving percussive noise to the thing. No tunes, no nothing. But on the other hand, I felt, let's use the songs from the time and try to cram as many as we could in there. I remember talking to Ray again about this, and he got sort of obsessed with lounge music. And this was contemporary lounge music, not contemporary, contemporaneous to the period of the film, but modern lounge music. And I tried it, and I didn't like it. So then I just started listening to records from the time, and suddenly, boom, 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 let's have this one. Oh, we'll get a bit of Tom Jones there. And it there was no plan. It was just poking around until I found things that felt right for the situation. I would like to say that I think this is one of Michael Kamen's best scores, and the fact that it's being remastered and available once again is a wonderful memorial to Michael. He went on to do bigger, more successful movies and some absolutely brilliant scores, but to me, the score for Brazil was the one that that really hit hardest. It was when he was freshest, when he was most innocent, when he was most passionate, when he had one of the best times, I think, in his life working on a score, and I think it's all there to be heard. So let's call this disc a memorial.